'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, or Lord, that could not be.
Todd Grove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I've entitled this message, If the Foundations Be Destroyed. Our text is found in the 11th Psalm, the 3rd verse. David says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now the word if is a hypothetical if. It's the same if that Paul used in 1 Corinthians 15 when he said, if Christ be not risen. He's giving a hypothetical situation, if Christ be not risen, and the disastrous results that would take place from that. He said your faith would be vain and you'd be yet in your sins, and they who are fallen asleep in Christ are now in hell if Christ be not risen. Now thank God he is risen. But if he was not, think of the horrible things that would take place. And then the writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 6 said, if these shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance would be impossible. He's giving a hypothetical situation of somebody who's tasted of the heavenly gift. If they've been made a partaker of the Holy Ghost and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they've experienced this, and if they fall away, there's no hope. There's no hope at all for them. To renew them away again to repentance would be impossible. Now, when David says, if the foundations be destroyed, he's not saying that they could be. The foundations of God cannot be destroyed. Thank God for that. But if they could, what would the righteous do? Now, if you read this 11th Psalm, you'll see how David groups all the world into two different groups, the righteous and the wicked. And even now, while I'm speaking to you, you and I are in one of those groups of people that God calls the righteous and that God calls the wicked. Now, here's an interesting note. The righteous, all without exception, believe themselves to be wicked. And all the wicked, without exception, believe themselves to be righteous. They think there's something good in them. They may be drug pushers and pornography pushers, but the wicked still think there's something in them that could turn things around and make it better. All the righteous believe themselves to be wicked, and all the wicked believe themselves to be righteous. Now, when David says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What are the foundations he's speaking of? Now, if you would ask a church member or a preacher, he would probably speak of the foundational doctrinal distinctives of their particular denomination, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Presbyterian, and so on. But did you know there's no such thing as denominations in the Bible? Denominations are purely man-made. Every single one of them. There are Christians and there are non-Christians. There are believers and there are unbelievers. But this thing of having denominations, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Methodist, that's purely man-made. There's no truth in that kind of thinking. Denominations are unscriptural, so I'm certainly not going to try to come bringing my denominational distinctives. What are the foundations? Well, I think a good thing that could be said, I'm not going to use it, but the five solas of the Reformation. Scriptures alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, God's glory alone. Those are good, but it's still something cleverly composed by men. I could talk about the 5 points of grace, and those would be good. They're certainly scriptural. Total depravity, men are totally depraved. God unconditionally elected a people before time began. Limited atonement. Christ's intention of salvation was limited to the elect. He never intended to save everybody. God's grace is irresistible and invincible. And the perseverance of the saints, everybody that God elected, Christ died for, and God the Holy Spirit gives life to, shall persevere. That would be a good statement of what is believed, but still that's more of a logical thing. What does the Bible say the foundation is? Now that's what I'm interested in. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What would the Bible call the foundations? Now I'm going to read a scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, this is Paul speaking, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another man buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he build thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation. I love when he said to Peter, upon this rock, upon this confession of me, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus Christ is the foundation. He's the foundation of the knowledge of God. You and I will never know God apart from Jesus Christ, and all that we will ever see of God is Jesus Christ. Christ is God. Jesus Christ, the Savior prophet. Jesus Christ, the Savior priest. Jesus Christ, the Savior king. Our only foundation. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That son wasn't born, that son's eternal. The child was born in time, but the son is eternal. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of peace. Are you saying that Christ is the mighty God and the everlasting Father? No, Isaiah said it. Isaiah said it. We read in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In John chapter 14, 9, when Philip asked this question, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. The Lord said, I've been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Knowest thou not that he that hath seen me hath seen the Father? All we'll ever see of God is Jesus Christ. Now let me repeat this. Jesus Christ is God. I love saying that. Jesus Christ is God, and a man or woman that does not know Jesus Christ is dead in sins with no knowledge of the living God. The foundation of everything is Jesus Christ. You see, He is God's motive. He is why God does everything that He does. He is God's purpose, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Colossians 1:18. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. God's got an agenda. The glory and the exaltation of His Son, and everything He does for the glory and the honor of His Son. He's the foundation of creation. The Scripture says all things were created by Him and for Him. Colossians 1:16, John 1:4, it says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He's the foundation of creation. He created the universe. He brought into existence matter that was not there before. There was a time when all there was God, and He spake the universe into existence. He made the worlds. And He's the foundation of providence. That's everything that happens in time. Everything that happens in time is His will being done. You see, He controls everything. He controls the thoughts that are going on through your mind right now. It could be you're under His judgment. It could be He's going to have mercy on you. I don't know, but He's in control. He's completely in control of all the free actions of men. That's glorious. That's how we can say we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose, because He controls everything and everybody. By Him, all things consist. He upholds, the Scripture says in Hebrews 1:3, all things by the word of His power. Everything that takes place in time and eternity is neither more nor less than His will being done. And my dear friends, He is the foundation of salvation. When Simeon held that child up, 8 days old, brought to the temple to be circumcised, couldn't have weighed more than 6 or 7 pounds, he said, Lord, now lettest Thou Thy servant depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen Thy salvation. Christ is salvation. Everything God has for the sinner is for Christ's sake. It's given in Christ. It's given for His glory. And it's mediated through Him. And God will not speak to nor be spoken to apart from the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is salvation. All the doctrines of salvation are only understood in Him. For instance, election. God's choice of His people before time began. The Bible teaches that. You can't preach the Bible and not preach election. Ephesians 1:4 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world. What's election without Christ? I was chosen in Him. God didn't choose me independently of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was chosen in Him. What about justification? Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. You see, God justifies people by punishing their sins in Christ and by giving the righteousness that Christ worked out to them so that we stand before God without guilt. What is justification without the personal work of Christ? What about redemption? A sin payment. You can't redeem yourself and you can't make up for your own sins. But we read in Ephesians 1, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What about sanctification? 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, He's made unto us sanctification. Sanctified in Christ Jesus. What about faith? Well, He's the object of faith. Faith looks only to Him. He's the author of faith. If you have faith, He made it and He gave it to you. He's the one who sustains it. He's the subject of faith. He's everything in faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What about repentance? Him hath God exalted at His right hand to be a Prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel, even the remission of sins. Repentance is repenting of anything contrary to Him. Any low thought of Him is to be repented of. Any high thought of yourself is to be repented of. We repent of everything that's contrary to Him being the foundation. Why, the peace I have, Ephesians 2:14 says, He is our peace. The reason I feel peace is because everything God requires of me, He looks to His Son for. He is our peace, having made peace by the blood of His cross. I have hope. I have a hope that when I stand before God in judgment, God's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that's because He is our hope. He did well, and if He did well, I did well because I was in Him. If He's a good and faithful servant, I'm a good and faithful servant because I'm in Him. My only standing before God is Jesus Christ. He Himself is the foundation. I love the Scripture. You are complete. You don't lack anything. You have all God requires. You are complete in Him. He is salvation. Heaven will be being in His presence, being conformed to His image, and beholding His glory. He is the foundation. He's the foundation of forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now, God didn't forgive you because you asked Him to. God didn't forgive you because you deserve it. God forgave you. If you're forgiven, if I'm forgiven, God forgave us for one reason, for Christ's sake, because of who He is and what He did. And I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Now, Jesus Christ Himself is the foundation. Now, let me read you another scripture found in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Chapter 2. Paul begins this verse with a nevertheless. Nevertheless. Now, to understand what he's saying, let's back up to verse 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. "And their word will eat as doth a canker or a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." These men have made a mess, and people's faith has been overthrown through their erroneous, heretical teaching. Oh, that's so bad. Nevertheless, the foundation of God. Now remember, we're asking, what does the Bible say the foundations are? "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." Now there's the foundation of God. Even though the faith of many is overthrown, Hymenaeus and Philetus have made a mess, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Now, there's a group of people in this world that are His. "My sheep," the Lord says, "hear my voice. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them to the end. He said concerning those the Father gave Him, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which You've given Me, for they are Thine. This is the will of Him that sent Me, that of all which He hath given Me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." Now, there is a great group of people that God calls His. And it says, "The Lord knoweth them that are His." To some, to many, He'll say, "Depart from Me, ye that work in iniquity. I never knew you." Now, He knew exactly who they were, and He knew everything they'd done, but He didn't know them. What that means is, I never loved you. I never knew you to be one of Mine. I've never been in an intimate relationship with you. Now, concerning all of His people, I know them. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Now, here's the foundation of my salvation. Here's what I'm relying on. Not my knowledge of Him, but His knowledge of me. "Whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, the very foundation of salvation is his knowledge of me. And the scripture says that stands sure. That stands sure. The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Now in Hebrews chapter 6, we read, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation. Now, if you're always having to lay again the foundation, the superstructure is never going to go up, is it? There's real problems if the foundation has to be laid again and again and again. And the writer to the Hebrews is saying, now here's something we should not have to lay down again. This is the foundation. And he names six things. Repentance from dead works, faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms, the doctrine of the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And those are the six foundations of the gospel. First, repentance from dead works. You repent of all your works before you knew the gospel. You see they're nothing more than dead works. At one time you considered them good works, works that could recommend you to God. And now you see they're nothing but filthy, stinking rags. And your only hope is Christ alone. And you repent of all dead works. Now, whenever I hear someone say, well, God saved me, and after that I learned grace, I learned how He saves. Well, there's the problem. You learned the doctrine, and you never really bowed the knee to Christ. When God saves someone, they see that all their religious works were dead and filthy before God gave them life to see who Christ is and what He did as everything in salvation. Now, the next thing He mentions is faith toward God. This is the second foundation, repentance from dead works and faith toward God. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, that's faith toward God. Here's my faith. I believe on him who justifies the ungodly through the person and work of Christ. I believe myself to be ungodly. I believe that what Christ did is all that's needed to make me absolutely just before God. And I'm relying on him. Now, the third thing he mentions is the doctrine of baptisms. Now, baptism is baptism by immersion. You go under the water and you come out. It's for believers. It's not for infants. It's not for unbelievers. It's believers. There's only one kind of baptism, believers' baptism. But what is the doctrine of it? What does it teach us? Is it simply a meaningless man-made religious ritual? No. What I'm saying in baptism is when Christ lived, I lived. Because I was in Him. That's my only hope. When Christ died, I died. I was crucified with Christ because I was in Him. When He died, I died. When He paid for sins, my sins were paid for. And when He was raised from the dead, I was raised from the dead. That's the doctrine of baptisms. It's the doctrine of union with the Lord Jesus Christ. One with Him. Both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. And the fourth thing he mentions is the laying on of hands. You say, what kind of doctrine is that? And you know, religious people like to lay hands on one another, and I don't feel comfortable with that. I don't know why they want to do that. Like some kind of transfer takes place when I lay my hands on you and the Holy Spirit comes to you. I don't believe any of that. But this is what the writer is talking about. Verse 20 of Leviticus chapter 16. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat, the scapegoat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness, and the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let the goat go in the wilderness. Now here is the laying on of hands. The priest lays his hands on the head of the sacrifice. Symbolically, the sins of the people he's representing, the sins of Israel, are transferred to that live scapegoat, and that scapegoat is led away bearing all the sins and iniquities and transgressions of the people of Israel. And that's exactly what was taking place on the cross. My sins were transferred to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He bore them away. And that's how I can stand before God without guilt. And then there's the doctrine of resurrection he speaks of. Resurrection. Christ was raised from the dead for our justification. We're spiritually resurrected when we're regenerated, brought from death to life. And the final resurrection when we'll be glorified in God's sight. Absolutely perfect. The doctrine of the resurrection and eternal judgment. Eternal judgment. You see, judgment's already taken place. It's taken place eternally in Christ. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And everything God does is eternal. And all judgment has been accomplished. Now on judgment day, before that great white throne, the sentences will be handed out. But judgment has already taken place by what Christ did on Calvary's tree. Now, I'd like to read one final scripture. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion. This is what God lays. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth on Him shall not make haste. Now this stone that God has laid is described as tried, proven, it always works, precious, precious to God and precious to those who believe, and sure, absolutely sure. And what is it to lay on this foundation? Whoso believeth on Him shall not make haste. Now Paul quoted this in Romans chapter 10, verse 11, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Now, if I believe on this stone is all my righteousness before God, this is what it is to lay down on the foundation. I trust who He is to hold me up. I'm not going to be ashamed of that hope. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of the gospel I preach. I'm not proud of myself, but I'm proud of the gospel I preach. It's the power of God unto salvation, and I won't be put to shame. You're going to see my life brought up on a big screen, and it's going to be nothing but perfection. Nothing but holiness, nothing but righteousness. I won't be put to shame because Christ is my righteousness before God, and I have nothing to be ashamed of. Now, what a foundation. Christ, oh, He is my foundation. God's knowledge of me and the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ worked out that causes me to repent of my dead works, have faith toward God, trust in union with Him. Trust my sins were put away in this divine transfer. And I look to Him only as my foundation. This is Todd Nybert praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.